You are listening to the SCC Cast, weekly teaching and preaching from Springview Community Church. Find us on the web at www.springviewcc.org. We are located at 12881 Andersonville Road in Davisburg, Michigan. We welcome you to come as you are to experience a friendly worship setting with biblical preaching, teaching, and application. Now, here's our guest speaker.
Good morning. It's good to be together today. You could turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, but we are going to be jumping around a little bit this morning, but we'll start in Ephesians 4. We have ended our discussion through the book of 1 John, which Ben did just a wonderful, wonderful job through that book and through those passages. And we're taking a little bit of a break, and then we're going to hit Numbers a little bit later. And in the meantime, Ben has asked me to preach a couple Sundays. He's going to be away a couple Sundays. And so I'm going to share through a series called One Anothering, and it is not nearly as long as it could be. We're gonna highlight a couple of ideas through the scriptures. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, one anothering, what even is that? Well, when you look at the scriptures have multiple commands, and I'm speaking specifically of the New Testament here. The scriptures have multiple commands on how to treat one another. There are positive commands, and there are negative commands. Let me explain what I mean here. Some positive commands: love one another, offer hospitality to one another. When you come together to eat, wait for each other. By the way, we do a really good job at that at our members' meetings. Have equal concern for one another. Serve one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Submit to one another out of a reverence for Christ. Honor one another above yourself. Each of you should have whatever gift he has received to serve one another. Bear with each other. Live in harmony with one another. Encourage each other. Build each other up. Carry each other's burdens. Spur one another on to love and good works. There are, still more. Teach one another. Admonish one another. Forgive each other. Pray for each other. Confess your sins to each other. There are a lot of positive commands through the scriptures, but there's some negative commands as well. And here's what we mean by negative. Stop passing judgment on one another. Do not slander one another. Don't grumble against each other. Do not lie to each other. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, you will be destroyed by each other. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Now, we know that the first four commands of the Ten Commandments are all about how we interact with God. But the next six are all about how we interact with one another. So this morning, we are going to look at one of these, just one of these passages, one of these ideas about one anothering. And today's passage is going to be Ephesians chapter 4. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ's sake, or for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And you would think that this should not be a hot topic. You would think that this wouldn't be something that riles people up. But because we have changed definitions of things, and because we mistake one thing for another, this has become a topic that's kind of difficult in the world we're in today. Would you pray with me before we get started? Lord God, guide and direct my words. Guide and direct our hearts. May we honor you this morning as we listen and obey. May we honor you, Father, as we try to learn to be kind to one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kindness. What does it even mean? How would you define it? Think in your own mind. What would be a quick definition for you? And it's interesting to me because every time I started thinking, how would I define kindness? I landed with this one word, being kind, right? That's how I thought about kindness. It's almost something that you know when you see it, but it's hard to define. This is how it's defined in the Greek. fit for use, worthy, virtuous, mild or pleasant, benevolent. This idea of being someone that is thoughtful of other people. Francis Schaeffer said this, "Biblical orthodoxy without compassion or kindness is surely the ugliest thing in the world." And if we're being honest, we live in a really odd space right now. Because we have this new term that I've heard several times in the last several years, often in the last several years, called virtue signaling. Anybody heard of virtue signaling? Where people are trying to be kind so that everybody knows how kind they are. And if you go on YouTube, some of the best, like the coolest channels are actually people being kind to other people, giving them money, giving them things. And they're really popular to watch, and they make a lot of money giving away money. It's a weird world that we live in where we've made kindness almost an employable thing. We hear about kindness all of the time. And sometimes we hear about kindness, well, we should just be kind, when we know someone's doing something wrong and they need to be corrected. So we have to understand, is kindness always just accepting, or does kindness include correcting? We're going to talk through those things this morning. So what's our big idea? Well, here's what our big idea is this morning. And apparently it's very kind to share an umbrella with other people. So kindness reaches the lost and reveals the believer. Kindness reaches the lost and reveals the believer. And we're going to see that in at least three ways this morning. It reaches the lost and reveals the believer because kindness leads to repentance. We're also going to see that kindness communicates God's love. And finally, we're going to talk about kindness being a mark of spirituality. So let's start with this idea that kindness leads to repentance. We see that in at least two places in the scripture. Romans chapter 2 says this, "Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" Paul echoes that in 2 Timothy chapter 2. "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them," what? "Repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their sense and escape the snare of the devil, being captured by him to do his will." Kindness leads to repentance. Well, how does it do that? Well, first of all, it does that by encouraging, not arguing. Encouraging, not arguing. Look at verse 24 one more time. "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth." Why are we encouraging and not arguing? Well, because we are doing this with the scriptures. We don't need to argue. We need to point people to what the Word of God says. So when we see someone that is doing something wrong, or when we see someone that needs the gospel, we're not arguing them into heaven. We're not yelling at them. We're not upset with them. We're not trying to blast them. We're trying to point them to the scriptures. We live in this society. How many of you have seen a headline like this when you're doom scrolling through social media? "Such and such conservative blasts such and such a liberal," or "such and such a liberal destroys such and such a conservative." Anybody ever seen headlines like that? Yeah, they're all over the internet. They're all over the internet. Can I encourage you? That is not where we need to be as believers. That is not what we need to be about. We are encouraging, not arguing. And not being argumentative really applies to a lot of different areas. It applies to social media. I think that's the greatest area in the last 20 years that I've seen people just getting upset and arguing and fighting and being nasty and unkind. It applies to high-stress situations. High-stress situations. How many times at our home or at the office or in some high-stress situation have you been engaged by somebody and then lost your temper just a little bit? Just moved into a different space than maybe you should be. You know what this applies to? Customer service representatives. Yeah, can I get an amen, right? It is not always easy to be kind when they're giving you words that you don't want to hear. It applies to township or local governmental disputes. It applies to the other political party, whichever one that is for you, right? It applies to sporting events. How many of you are like me and yell at the television once in a while? It applies to church meetings. I'm thankful that we have not seen this here at Springview Community Church. Oh, I got one here. It applies to driving our cars in the Detroit metro area when they're right up on your bumper for no good reason at all, right? It applies to all of those areas. Kindness. Oh man, this has got to be about 20 years ago now, maybe 18 years ago. I was playing in a YMCA basketball league with my church that I was a pastor of. And I'm a coach. And in soccer, when you yell something, you've got to be a little bit louder. And I don't have a whole hard time being loud. It's kind of how I'm made up. I've got a big voice. But when I yell to a ref, I'm not a yeller at refs, generally speaking. But every once in a while, I'll let them know that I disagree with their call. And I generally do that pretty nice. In fact, I had a game yesterday where I was being pretty nice to the ref, even though he was not very nice to my team. But I was playing basketball, and I was posting up, and I did a spin move on a guy, and I laid the ball up and scored, and the ref called a travel on me. Now, I was playing basketball during soccer season, and so I turned, and the ref was like 2 feet ahead of me. And I said, no, in the same way I would have said no to a ref on a soccer field. So I was super loud, like so loud. And I wasn't even angry. I was just like disappointed. And it just kind of came out. And I wasn't meaning to be argumentative. But can I tell you, I got a technical foul. The only technical foul our team received all year was from the pastor. And I felt awful. I felt like an absolute heel. You know why that is? Because it takes a lifetime to build a reputation. And sometimes it only takes one moment to destroy that same reputation. We need to be encouraging, not arguing. Encouraging, not argument. But not just that. We need to be patiently enduring. Look at verse 24 one more time. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach. Patiently enduring evil. That's a different way to look at evil, is it not? Well, why do we patiently endure evil? Shouldn't we just kick the evil's doors down and let them know how evil they are? Well, why do we do that? Because we are hoping for repentance. We're hoping for repentance. There's some things that you have to do as a pastor that you never, ever want to do. There's some things I've done as a pastor that I never, ever want to do. Again, not because I did something wrong, but because doing right is sometimes really hard. One of those things that I've had to do is walk through the church discipline process with a couple of different people over the course of 30 years. And can I tell you that that is not an easy process? It is hard to watch somebody over and over reject the truth and the tenets of Scripture. One of the things that I've learned in that process, learned from walking through it with godly men, learned from studying the Scriptures, is this. There are sometimes that churches are quick to think of the church discipline process as getting them to the point of discipline to get them out. That is not God's heart. God's heart is that we restore a brother or sister back into fellowship. That they come to their senses. That they stop this awful thing that they're doing. So as I've walked through church discipline, what I've come to understand is this, that you continue to reach out. You continue to reach out. You continue to reach out. You are patient until they no longer receive that offer of forgiveness, that offer of coming back, that offer of acceptance and repentance from you. We want to extend the same grace to other people that God extends to us. We all know the parable of the unmerciful servant, or most of us do at least. Jesus tells this parable of a man who owed just piles of money to his master. And the master comes to him and says, hey, it's time to collect. You owe me a ton of money. And the guy falls to his knees and says, oh, please, please, please give me more time. I'm going to get you the money. I just don't have it now. And the master says, you know what? I'm going to forgive you your entire debt, this massive amount of money. He says, I'm going to forgive it all to you. So the servant goes out and does what a grateful servant should do, right? He finds another servant that owes him like 10 bucks. And he starts choking the servant. The scripture actually uses the word strangle. Starts choking the other servant and says, give me what you owe me. This little bit of money. And of course, we know that Christ says the master finds out about it and says, you wicked servant, you're going to be put in jail until you pay me every bit that you owe me. We want to extend to others the same grace that God extends to us. Let me ask you this. How does God treat you when you struggle through the same sin over and over and over? How many times can I say over, right? How does God treat you? With grace, with kindness, with a call back from the scriptures to repent from your sin. We should be doing the same with our brothers and sisters. So not encouraging, not arguing, patiently enduring, but also this, gently correcting. Look at verse 25, gently correcting. Correcting his opponents with gentleness, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of truth. I want you to see this. This is so very important when we're understanding kindness. Kindness is not ignoring sin. In fact, I would argue that ignoring sin would be one of the least kind things that you can do. Because if a brother or sister, another child of God, is walking in known sin and we are ignoring it, then we are saying essentially that it's better when we don't confront, when we don't correct, when we don't go to that child of God. We're saying it's better that you have a wrong relationship with God, but a right relationship with me. How inverse is that? What is the eternal relationship there? It is certainly them and God. It is certainly you or me with God. Wouldn't you want your brother or sister to correct you when you are wrong? I would say this, kindness is not ignoring, but correcting is kindness. Correcting is kindness. Remember our big idea here. Kindness reaches to the lost and reveals the believer. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sure you have a list. I don't know what's wrong with me, and my kids blame it on me being old. But there's some things that happen, and I think other people do it too. I think my kids even do it too sometimes, but they don't blame it on being old. They just, whatever, it happened, right? When you have a shirt on and you got a little stain on it, right? Like ketchup or mustard or something falls on your shirt, and you don't notice it. You ever have that happen to you? My kids tell me it's because I'm old, but then I watch them walk around with dirt on their own shirts, and I'm like, is that because they're old? I don't know. But here's what I do know. If I have mustard on my shirt, can you do me a favor? Yes, thank you. Can you please do that? I will go and change my shirt. I don't mind doing that at all, right? And inevitably, it's not going to be mustard for me. It's going to be coffee. There's another thing, and I don't know what's wrong with me. And Cammie's going to laugh because she knows this is true. In the last several months, I have forgotten my zipper on a couple of occasions. And it can't be just old because I know several third graders with the same problem. Maybe it's because I'm young at heart. I don't know what it is. But can I just tell you, if I'm walking around, can you just give me an XYZ, right? Examine your zipper, right? Can you just let me know? Every time I walk on stage, the first thing I do is I'm walking up. I just check. That's the last thing I want up here, right? The last thing I want is to be like, so guys, right? That's the last thing I want. It is a kindness to correct someone. Wouldn't you want to be corrected in those circumstances? Wouldn't you far more, hear me on this, wouldn't you far more want to be corrected if your relationship with the God of the universe is not right because something is not right with you? I would much rather have my zipper open than be walking in unknown sin that somebody else can see. It is a kindness. It is a kindness to correct. Parents, we need to take this seriously with our kids. Some of you are like me, and you are quick to correct. Sometimes you can even be a little bit harsh when you correct. Don't stop correcting, but remember how we correct. It's with gentleness and with patience. Harshness has no space. Do you want God to be harsh with you the way you are with your kids? Some of you are in a different place. You're afraid to correct. You're afraid to draw lines in the sand because you're afraid, well, if I do that, then my kids are just going to rebel. I want you to remember this. Rebellion is not the result of rules and correction. Rebellion is simply exposed by rules or correction. You cannot, and I cannot help my child's heart of rebellion, cannot help their heart of rebellion if I'm not correcting them. In fact, I'm growing that heart of rebellion within them because they don't know how to be corrected. Parents, this is important. We need to take this seriously. Now, there's two people in this room likely, and then there's some people that are middling, but there's generally two people in this room. There's some of you that are like, I just can't do that. I just can't do that. I just don't think it's kind to correct, even though the Bible just told you so. 2 Timothy, right? And then there's the other that are like, yeah, correct them, right? Get into them. Let them know. If you're the one that's saying, let them know, can I just tell you? Be gentle. Be gentle. Don't be harsh. You may like that too much. So be careful. If you're the one that says, I can't correct, correcting is wrong or correcting is not kind, can I encourage you that God today wants you to understand that correcting is a kindness. He wants you to help the believers around you and maybe even your own family grow closer to him because of what you see in them and how you can help them. Kindness reaches the lost and reveals the believer. Kindness also communicates God's love. Kindness communicates God's love. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I won't read the whole passage because you've been to a wedding. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It goes on to talk about love. Kindness communicates God's love. Love is patient and kind. Titus echoes this. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Kindness communicates love. Have you ever met somebody and thought, oh, this guy or this girl, they've got to be a believer. You just meet them and there's something about them. They just have this kindness about them. And then you ask them, and almost inevitably they say, yeah, actually I am a Christian. I had two lawnmowers, sold one of them, which by the way is never a problem to have two lawnmowers. I actually believe in that. But we needed the money. So I sold the one lawnmower, and I'm talking to this guy, and we're just chatting away, and I just look at him and I'm like, are you a brother in Christ? Then we spent the next half an hour, this happened like 2 weeks ago, spent the next half an hour talking about our Savior together. What a blessed interaction. What a great time that I was able to have with him. There's something about kindness that communicates God's love. Have you ever been around somebody that is just complaining about everything? Or they're super, super staunch and self-righteous and thought the same thing? They must go to church somewhere? Have you ever been around a person like that? Here's the reality. The one points us to Jesus. The other points us to religion, does it not? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be staunch, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be righteous in our living, but being arrogant, being complaining, being self-righteous, these are not things that point to God. Remember, kindness reaches the lost, and it reveals the believer. Complaining does not. That leads us to our last idea for today. Kindness is a mark of spirituality. Kindness is a mark of spirituality. It leads to repentance. It communicates God's love, but it is a mark of spirituality. Remember, we said kindness is not ignoring. Correcting someone may even be the greatest kindness that you can do for someone. But you know what isn't kindness or spirituality? Complaining, self-righteousness, meanness. My father-in-law, I've talked about my father-in-law on more than one occasion, and I've done that because he's about the closest thing I think I've seen to Jesus in human form. He is just a godly man. He is meek. He is gentle. He is gracious. He has almost no negative word to say about anything or anyone. It wasn't long ago that I asked him, it's actually the last time I saw him, said, hey, Rob, who's the hardest person you ever dealt with in ministry? And he told me this story, and I knew the folks, and I'm not going to share their names. But he had an elder whose wife just didn't like him. And I don't know how you cannot like my father-in-law. Seriously, I do not know how you can't like my father-in-law. Everybody. He's the kind of guy that gets invited. He met a guy in Israel one day. When they were visiting Israel on a tour, and the man invited him back to do his wedding later on. Like, that's the kind of man my father-in-law is. Just the kindest, gentlest man you've ever met. But this person did not like my father-in-law. Her husband was an elder, and she would come to church with her husband, and sit in the car to make a statement. I'm not going in there. Now remember, kindness reaches the lost and reveals the believer. If it reveals the believer, then what does unkindness reveal about us? What does that say about our hearts and our relationship with God? Kindness is a mark of spirituality. We know that kindness, as a mark of spirituality, represents the Spirit's work in our life. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Kindness reflects the love of God and His character, and it cannot be displayed without the Spirit. Now, you know, I love coaching, and I love being around kids, and I love the game of soccer. It's interesting to me that my wife can tell how long I've been coaching a team, because she'll come to one of my games or whatever as a coach, and she'll say, they're starting to look like one of your teams, Jack. So I'll take a team over, and they'll have, you know, they'll just have a different way of playing or a different style, and then I take the team over, And my wife will say, they don't look any, you know, early on, she'll say, they don't look anything like your team. Ah, well, it's going to take some time. And then she'll say, oh, they're starting to look like your team. And then they get to a point and she says, that looked like one of your teams, Jack. That looked like one of your teams. And it's interesting because when I assistant coach, she'll say, yeah, I see some of you out there, but I see some other stuff too, right? Like she just can see the characteristics of my coaching on my players. Well, in the same way, don't you think that kindness is one of the ways that we see God in his people? It's one of the fruits of his spirit. Kindness reaches the lost. It reveals the believer. It shows who we are. But it also represents our effort in our life. Let me explain this with the scriptures. Put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. In other words, this is not just something that's going to come naturally. You have to put it on. There are situations where you're going to want to react in one way, and God is saying, don't react that way. This is what I want from you. I want kindness. I want gentleness. I want humility. I want compassion, meekness, patience. Put on. This idea of clothing ourselves. We want to be properly clothed. We want to be properly equipped as a believer. Now, you guys don't know me this way, but for 25 or 26 years, I drove a Jeep. I love Jeeps. And as soon as Easter hit, the top came off. And I might have to leave the doors on and crank the heat because it was cold. Right, I don't think I could do that in Michigan, but the top would come off, and I'd just drive with the top off, and it would stay off, and I'd take the doors off, and I just loved my Jeeps. Well, one day I was driving like an hour and a half away, and I was going to visit a guy who was at a rehab, and I'm driving along, and I'm seeing ahead of me where I'm going. And I have no doors, no top. And I used to have a bikini top, which is just this like thing that you put over just where you drive. And I happened to not have that on because when I left my house, it was such a beautiful day. Beautiful sunshine. Figured I'd get my bronze noggin all clean, looking good, right? Driving along, and I see this cloud and thunder and lightning are ahead of me. And I'm like, oh no, here I go. And I'm not going to turn around because I promised the guy I was going to visit him. So I keep driving. And I get into the middle of this thing, and it's like one cloud. It was like something from Peanuts. It's just like what came over me, right? So I get to a stoplight, and I'm sitting there, and can I say it is a torrential downpour? And I'm there. I got khaki pants on, right? Which was really weird when I stood up because the back was dry, right? So, and I've got a t-shirt on, and I'm sitting there at the light. And this group of teenagers pulls up to my left to turn. And they're like, and I got all these phones like plastered to the window, right? It's just so obvious. It's just so obvious that I was not clothed or equipped for the circumstance that I was in. And I looked silly. I looked wrong. I looked out of place. I looked uncomfortable. In the same way, if you're a believer this morning and you are not kind, you'll look like a guy in a Jeep caught in a rainstorm. You look out of place. You look, we've got to fix these things. We've got to fix these things. We have to put on, clothe ourselves with compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness. And patience. So remember what our big idea is. Kindness reaches the lost and it reveals the believer. Why? Because kindness leads to repentance. It helps those around us get to know where they need to grow and change, and maybe even points an unbeliever to their Savior. Because kindness communicates God's love. Because He is loving and kind, we ought to be loving and kind. And because kindness is a mark of spirituality. It is something the Spirit does in us And it is something that we have to work on and clothe ourselves with as a believer. Let's pray. Father, we live in a time, it is a strange time that we live in, where people are trying to change character traits to fit the narrative of the world around us. They're trying to change your character, Lord, to fit the world's narrative. So, Father, I pray that as believers, we would stand firm, knowing what true kindness, true love, true compassion looks like in the world that we live in. That we would stand by biblical principles and not worldly philosophy. But I also pray, Lord, I also pray that we would clothe ourselves with kindness as the Spirit works kindness in us and produces the fruit of kindness in us. Father, help us to clothe ourselves in that way so that we can reach the lost, Lord, and be revealed as one of your children. We pray these things, God, in Jesus' name.